Welcome to Pastor with host Pastor Henry Wells, as he shares heart-to-heart with pastors and leaders their insights into biblical truths and the challenges they face in sharing Jesus Christ in today's society. Now, here's your host, Pastor Henry Wells.
Good day, and thank you for being with us today as we talk pastor-to-pastor, heart-to-heart to pastors all across Northern California. Glad to have you with us today, and I'm glad to have couple of new guys that I know where they minister, but I've never met them before, and I would like to introduce them to you. First of all, Jason Smith. He's a co-pastor at St. Mark's Lutheran Church in Citrus Heights, and his co-pastor is Jonald Stray.
Nice to be here.
Yeah, glad to have you with us.
Thank you.
Is co-pastors in Lutheran churches kind of unusual?
It depends. It varies. I know it's the structure that we went with, and it's been working up to this point. I know there is probably a trend toward having more of a senior pastor relationship, but it's been going.
How long have you been here now?
I have been at St. Mark's for 4.5 years. I came in the summer of 2011, and I was pastor in the Bay Area at Gloria Dei Lutheran Church in Belmont for 10 years prior to that.
Mm-hmm. And that was John Olson speaking. And first one was Jason. They grew up in Wisconsin, and they knew each other, went to the same college and went to the same seminary. And after going different places during their intern years, God has brought them together here in Citrus Heights. And it was great to have you here. Who determines the preaching? Who preaches and all those sort of things? How do you work that out?
So worship is one of my areas of responsibility at St. Mark's, and I produce the preaching schedule. We generally alternate every other week, but various responsibilities might keep us from being able to keep a strict schedule where it's always every other week switching off. So, but we make it work with our additional responsibilities, and generally we're sharing those responsibilities, preaching responsibilities, 50% of the time.
Mm-hmm. So you also work with the elders, don't you?
That's one of the boards I work with. St. Mark's has 6 ministry boards. Mm. And I work with the Board of Elders and the Board of Worship and the Board of Adult Discipleship.
And Jason, what do you work with?
I work with the youth. Mm-hmm. I do our youth group, and I work with our Board of Outreach. So those are my areas. It's nice to have Jonald do the preaching schedule. I don't have to think about that. He says, here's where we're going, and so that works out.
Well, your focus is really moving out from the church and trying to attract new people and younger people and older people. So you're really into kind of refocusing what St. Mark's does?
Right. Yeah, we are ramping up our community outreach team and reaching out into our community. A lot of people will say, yeah, I know where St. Mark's is. I passed you on the way to the mall. Mm-hmm. And so we are hoping to do some door-to-door, have people come onto our campus. We recently hosted a choir. And so that was good to get to meet some folks and get to see what the changing needs are of the changing people in our community.
You're located close to Sunrise Mall, right?
That's
correct. Or Birdcage. Mm-hmm. Which is closer, Birdcage or Sunrise?
Birdcage is closer. That we're on the corner of Birdcage and Kingswood.
Mm-hmm. Birdcage has kind of been re-animated, and it's doing pretty well, but somebody just bought Sunrise Mall, I understand, and they're going to revamp it so they could really spruce up what's happening in that part of the county.
There's a lot of activity happening around our neighborhood, and in some ways it's great to be in that spot. You can see the wisdom of purchasing that property, which was nothing 50 years ago. Cows were around the area.
I was here.
and now to have such a fine location, you really see the wisdom of the property purchase they made 50 years ago.
Yeah, it's very visible, and it's a good location. Yeah. What do you see in today that you're talking about 50 years ago? What do you think is different in the way we do church today and 50 years ago?
I think the culture in America has changed, and in Northern California for that matter, to the point where maybe people don't – there was an assumption in past generations, good people go to church. I wake up on Sunday morning, and this is part of my routine. And now that's not part of family routine anymore necessarily. You're competing with soccer games on Sunday morning and who knows what else is going on. And so church is not necessarily a part of what we do as a family. Now, that's both good and bad. It's bad because it's not part of our routine. But maybe it's good because it's a chance for us to not just do this church thing because that's what we do, to not have a sort of a rote relationship with my Lord that I just go and give my hour on Sunday morning and come back. But that now we have a chance to really explain, well, why do we do this? Why do we gather on Sunday morning? What's the purpose? It's not to make ourselves look like good citizens that are doing nice things with our family on Sunday morning. We are there because the church is a spiritual hospital. And I need to go there to find the forgiveness of sins. I need to go there to know that Christ is my Savior. I need to understand why I need him so much. And without that kind of rote relationship with the church, that this is what good people do, maybe it's a chance for us, maybe it's actually an opportunity for us to really explain why you need Jesus Christ, what this church is all about, why we're here, why it's worth giving that hour of time, or better yet, 2 hours of time on Sunday morning in worship and Bible study. The negatives that we see in the culture may actually be opportunities for us to reach those people and to have them have a deeper relationship and knowledge of the scriptures.
Seems like the younger generation is more geared to that too. They want to know why. They don't want something. You can't say, well, because the Bible says this anymore. You used to, you know, the preacher said the Bible said it is true, and you accept that. They don't accept that anymore. So right. That's changed. I think Jason, that we're moving into what they call a missional church, and that is that people live out their faith during the week. That it's not just a Sunday morning thing, but it's all week long. And you probably do some of that in your outreach.
Right. You know, we're emphasizing our mission statement is to glorify God and to grow in grace and go with the gospel. And go with the gospel is not just, you know, spitting out some Bible passages. It's loving your neighbor enough and understanding where your neighbor is coming from, that your neighbor hurts just like you do, and you have something to share with your neighbor.
Mm-hmm.
And we're finding that to be an interesting challenge with our changing community, where people who built Citrus Heights and built the homes right near St. Mark's Church, some of those people have passed away. They've moved on to heaven. Some of them have moved into retirement places, and really neat younger families are moving in, and also well-established families are coming in. And a neat thing that we are finding is mission work used to be, you know, go global. You needed to go to different countries. And now people from all over the world are moving right into our community, and it's presenting some really unique opportunities to meet some very interesting people. And again, when St. Mark's was established, you know, Donald mentioned that people were of this mindset that I'm getting to my neighborhood, I need to find a church home.
Mm-hmm, right.
Well, now I need to find a job. I need to find a second job. I need to find daycare. I need to find a school. I need to find soccer, this and this. And so our challenge is, hey, St. Mark's is here for you. And so, but the one thing that all these people have in common is they're hurting.
Yeah.
They're hurting.
And they have a need. We all have inside of us this something that's empty without God. And Jesus is the only one that can really fill that up. And our job is to tell them the good news. This is the good news that, you know, you can take that emptiness and be full. And it gives you strength to meet the challenges. And so it is a great opportunity to really take the gospel, which is Jesus. You know, and he told us, go into all the world. And our world is around us, not just overseas, although I'm sure you're involved in mission projects within the church, but, you know, our mission field is right here.
We have a Bible information class that is the membership preparation class. Somebody takes this class, which goes from 15 to 20 lessons. They have a thorough knowledge then of Christian instruction, and then if they so choose, they are welcome to join St. Mark's congregation. In one of my most recent Bible information classes, we had people representing all sorts of different corners of the world, from the Middle East to South America to the Philippines. And it was just so unique that mission work was happening, world mission work was happening, not by sending the missionary to a foreign continent, but that all these people have come right in our neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a really neat experience. Some of them were not super comfortable in English, so Bible information class also became English class. I had to learn to teach in a more simplified way. We also took little timeouts and explained common English expressions so that that they understood what was being communicated. So it was a chance for the class to not only be Christian education, which is its most important purpose, but also for a chance to help love these people by helping them expand their ability to speak in the new language that they find themselves in. It was a very unique experience, and I suspect we're going to have more and more classes like that.
Right. I had a thought there for a minute, and it left me. it was in doing church. Oh, I know what it was. I'm thinking about St. Mark's Lutheran. A lot of denominations. Well, in some ways, denominationalism is fading away, and some people are changing their names. You know, just you go down the street and you see some church has been there for a long time, and now it's called River City or something like that. You know, and you don't know what denomination it is. But do you think people anymore don't come to the church because it's Lutheran? Although maybe people from certain parts of the country or certain Germanic tribes, maybe still look for Lutherans. But do you sense in Lutheranism that there is a breakdown in people wanting to be a part of a Lutheran church as opposed to some other church?
I don't know if the denominational name is either a turnoff or a draw. I think it's simply the name by which we identify with our community in this part of the country.
Mm-hmm.
Where I grew up in the upper Midwest, there the name Lutheran probably carries a little more freight as far as that's the kind of church I'm looking for.
Right.
Out here, I think it's a teaching opportunity. We can explain what it means to be a Lutheran, how Luther held on to the scriptures alone as the source of what we believe and teach. How Luther believed that the message of grace alone, that we are saved entirely by the work of Christ and not by anything that we contribute, how faith alone is what receives those blessings of God. Those pillars of the Lutheran Reformation can be a teaching opportunity today. So I think our name maybe doesn't identify ourselves theologically with our community like it would in another part of the country, but I think it is a teaching opportunity when we have that conversation with somebody. I forget where, but I think I read fairly recently, perhaps it was a Barna study or another type of study, that denominationalism doesn't really turn people off. I think there's an assumption that you have to get rid of that name. I don't think that turns people off. I think when they have their first point of contact with you, that's what's going to attract them or mm-hmm. turn them off. So yeah. if we live up to our message and we deal with one another in Christian love, recognizing what Pastor Schmidt said earlier, that people are hurting, that they need the gospel that we have to give them. We share that message with them in love. We support them in their life situation. That will overcome any identity issues that might be attached to a denominational name.
Yeah. Well, when our church, in the last 5 years, has moved from one denomination to another, Presbyterian, and there was this big thing, we need to change our name. And Presbyterians, we don't want to be associated with what our old denomination is doing. But you know, most of the people in our church said we're Presbyterian, and people in our community know our church. They know what we stand for, and it tells about our history. It tells about who we are, and so they kept the name Presbyterian, and I don't think it's hurt. But I've seen the trend, so because it is really just rampant that churches are called all sorts of things now, and I think that's kind of a turnoff in some ways too. You know, what is if you call yourself River City or Rolling Winds or something, you know, is that really going to make people come to you rather than if you were a certain denomination?
And we had the privilege of celebrating our 50th anniversary. So St. Mark's Lutheran Church has been serving Citrus Heights and our surrounding communities for over 50 years. And we also operate St. Mark's Lutheran Grade School.
Mm-hmm.
And we are about to celebrate our 45th anniversary of Christian education. And so I think the name has been a blessing, especially at St. Mark's. For 50 years, you go back, and we did. We published Pastor Franzman, the founding pastor. We published his sermon in our newsletter as part of our anniversary celebration, and it was the exact same message you would hear today. Mm-hmm. It's the power of God working in your hearts through the good news of Jesus. You will get the Word of God at St. Mark's unapologetically as the Holy Spirit inspired it. We will serve you with holy baptism. We will serve you with Holy Communion. And so if we can do one thing for Lutheranism, it's that we are all about the means of grace, the tools that God uses to address our needs. It's Word and Sacrament. And that's been, it's worked for 50 years. And although we are finding new ways to share it and a changing community with whom to share it, it's who we are, St. Mark's Lutheran Church and School. Everything we do is Word and Sacraments, and it's an honor to be a part of that.
Yeah, I think that's great. And I think that in the long run, people know, you know, what you stand for, and it, and you've got a great reputation, and music-wise, and school, and just being a part of the neighborhood and part of Citrus Heights, and that's the way we are. We feel like we've been a part of Fair Oaks and as the Presbyterian Church, and, you know, we stand for the church of the table in the book, you know, that those two things are central, and preaching the Word of God and the sacraments, you know, so that's what we stand for, and that's what we're going to stay with, you know. So it's I think it's great that we've done that. But if others want to do change their name, that's fine with me too. I'm not going to tell them you're wrong in doing that, but we'll see what works out. What really draws people? I think you're right. It's when people come on your campus and they I've been told through church growth things, you know, that the first 15 seconds is where they make up a decision about what they're seeing. So you have to be first impressions. You can never can change again. So, but I think they see you guys, two young, good looking guys, you know, with families.
Thank you for that.
Let me pull that 20 out of my wallet for you.
Well, one of you is good looking. No.
Well, you mentioned first impressions, and we have a very dedicated group of people who give a lot of time and you know, a lot of financial support, a lot of energy to having a very attractive campus.
Mm-hmm.
And we're working very hard that when we do have somebody who graces us and they decide, I'm going to pop in on St. Mark's, we want to show them that we care and they're welcome and you know, share a very... you know, Lutheran service with them.
I think it's also very exciting right now because as part of the 50th anniversary, we recently renovated the church sanctuary. And it was quite fine before, but we had members who took this project on their own. Pastor Schmidt and I hardly had to be involved in it. And they were eager to do this. They wanted to beautify the house of God. And the updates to the sanctuary are just beautiful. And there's an anniversary offering being taken this year that may also update things further, expand our pipe organ a little bit, put stained glass windows in the side, which I think can be great teaching tools. The symbols in those windows, I'm going to show my kids. See that symbol? That reminds us about our baptism, or that reminds us that God is triune. That's very exciting because not only is it a teaching tool, but as we were saying earlier, it does give a very positive impression to the people who come here. The building is not a means of grace. The building is not going to convert them. But the attractiveness certainly may draw them to come into the church. And the warmth of the people may draw them to stick around for a while.
Stick around. That would become part of this fellowship. Now, we've been talking kind of that you're near Birdcage and Sunrise. So tell us exactly what the location is.
Our address is 7869 Kingswood, and if you come down Sunrise, you can take a left on Kingswood right by Bank of America. We're up on the hill a little bit. If you're shopping down at Target, you can see our gymnasium. We have a big yellow sign for you to let you know where our school is, and our school is right on our same campus as our church.
What's the name of the school?
St. Mark's Lutheran School. And Mr. Matt Bauer is our principal, and he does a super job. He's been doing a good job providing quality education.
For 45 years, that's a great track record.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You have a website, and I went on it. I learned about you guys from the website, and it's very good. So give us your webpage.
It's www.stmarkslutheran, and that's spelled STMARKS Lutheran, LUTHERAN.com.
Oh, that's easy to find. It's at MarthaLutheran.com. I think people, I love web pages now because it's better than the Yellow Pages. You know, it's people can go in there and find out all the information. I got 5 or 6 pages here that I ran off from that, telling all about you guys and about the school and the different things that go on. With a lot of, you know, a lot of activities. So you're and there's your pictures, and so they can see what you look like.
Sure.
So if so I encourage people to go on the webpage and check you out. And
one of the best aspects of the webpage is that we are able to produce have live streaming and on-demand viewing of our services and many of our Bible classes as well. And we have people around the world who watch those services and the Bible classes. Mm. There is somebody in the Netherlands who is not able to go to a church of his preference, and so he is originally from America, and he watches us every Sunday.
Hey, that's great.
And I email him the service so he can follow along in the privacy of his living room. There are people around the world, or even our own members, who often maybe they're ill on Sunday morning. They can't come to church, but they want to hear what's happening at church. And so they want to hear the sermon. They want to hear the message, and they tune in online. So it's great to have that option. The internet can be a real blessing for congregation's ministry, and I think our website certainly has been that.
Yeah, well, that's great. You've also been known for music, and you have something coming up in February.
So in the month of February, we have our 3rd annual pipe organ recital. Mr. David Crewell, who comes from the Seattle area, he's a member of one of our churches in that area, and he has a master's degree in organ performance from the University of Washington. He will be performing an organ recital for us on the 14th of February, Sunday afternoon. That's the Sunday after the Super Bowl at 4 o'clock. And then the next month, the choir or the college that Pastor Schmidt and I graduated from, Martin Luther College, their college choir will be on tour in Arizona and California in March, and they will be coming to St. Mark's.
That's great.
The day before Palm Sunday. So it's Saturday, March 19, I believe. For a 6:30 p.m. concert, and it's an outstanding choir. I'm an alumnus of the choir. Pastor Schmidt's wife also was in the choir. We were actually in it together. And in 1997, we took a tour to California, and the first place we played at was St. Mark's, and sang at was St. Mark's.
That's God in your life, isn't it?
in fact, the church where I did my intern year, my vicar year, as we call it, that was another place that was on the tour. This was St. Paul's First down in North Hollywood, California. And so I got to experience two of the three churches I've served at. I got to experience on choir tour long before I actually was serving at them.
Yeah. Well, that's great. Now you're married. Hey, got children?
Yep. We both have families. Yeah. We are blessed to have our school. Our children are enrolled in our school. And our wives are musicians. They help out when they can. Emily, Donald's wife, is a good singer, so she will sing during worship from time to time. And my wife, Shannon, plays the organ, and so she enjoys doing that. Of course, we have young children, so she doesn't always get an opportunity to play as often as she'd like because she's a super mom on Sunday mornings too. And our families have enjoyed living in California, and it's been good.
We're both waiting for our kids to get a little bit older so that moms can be on the organ bench when needed. We both have 4 children, and ironically, we were married on the exact same day, June 17, 2000. Us in Milwaukee, Pastor and Shannon Schmidt
Tucson. Did you know you were both doing that?
We did not.
Total coincidence. But we are married 90 minutes longer than they are. So just for the record.
And how long has that been then?
Well, we got married. You get married in the year 2000. You always know how many years you've been married.
Right. No, so, that's right. It's easy to figure it out. Well, so glad to have you with us today, Pastor Jason Schmidt and John Stray from the St. Mark's Lutheran Church in Fisher Heights. Hey, check them out on the web, and you'll find a great guys that are co-pastors of that church. God bless you. Glad to have you with us.
Thank you.
Thank you guys for coming along with us out there in Radio Land, and we'll see you next week. God bless you. You take somebody to church, introduce them to Jesus. It'll change their life forever.
We hope you've enjoyed Pastor to Pastor. If you'd like more information on today's guest, please call 924-0710 and give the date of the show. We appreciate all area pastors and ministry leaders for their selfless commitment of service to our community. Please tune in again next week at the same time for another interview on Pastor to Pastor. Until then, may God bless you and keep you.